But this is a really pivotal Torah portion week. There's so much in this Torah portion, I would probably need to talk for 3 or 4 hours to get through it all. I'm not going to do that. You're welcome. I'm not going to talk for 3 or 4 hours. But Torah for today, we will hopefully get through more than what I can even get through in the few minutes that I have to speak with you today. But pivotal Torah portion, foundational Torah portion, chapter 5, the giving of the Ten Commandments. What's more pivotal, what's more foundational than that? And Deuteronomy 6, we're going to start in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. This is a very simple message today. I didn't want to cloud the message up with a lot of flowery terms for you and tell you how, you know, educated I am by pulling out all these different things. We're going to just get into the pure and simple word today, because the word of God is really the only thing that we can cling to these days, because all the other stuff is falling away. All the other stuff is like imploding. All the other things that people hold on to are crumbling around them. And so what do we have? We have the word of God. If we don't stand on the word of God, we're not going to stand. And so I just want to challenge you. I want to exhort you. I want to hopefully have the conviction come to you. I want to encourage you, whatever it takes. But dive into the word of God, because we need more of the Bible this day, because it's foundational for us. And what more foundation can we have than Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, these three verses are so instructional to us, so foundational, so pivotal to us, especially now, but in every season of our lives. And we really, you know, we gloss over words, we gloss over phrases, we just kind of read it because, okay, well, we got to read it. But what I want to talk today about is something deeper than just the words. Is really, today what I want to talk about is really the heart, as it references in verses 5 and 6. It's all about the heart. You can't say that about a lot of things. You can't say it's all about, well, people say it's all about the Benjamins, right? It's not all about the Benjamins. It's all about the heart. People say it's all about the commandments. It's not all about the commandments. It's about the heart. Everything goes back to these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Hear, O Israel, Shema. There's so much wrapped up in that word hear or Shema. And really, this means more than just hearing. It means to pay attention. It means to listen. It means to obey. It means to follow. God was telling Israel, you have to do all these things. It's not just enough to rotely do the commandments or to think about me every once in a while. You've got to do them from your heart. These words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. So don't just do them from the heart. And in verse 5 we read, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. To love the Lord your God with all of your soul and your might. These verses are so pivotal and foundational that Yeshua references this as the most important thing that we're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 22, go there with me. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 38. This happens a couple of times in the Synoptic Gospels, but I like the wording in the book of Matthew, and I think it really conveys the heart of what Yeshua is trying to say here, because when Yeshua was questioned about the law, about the Torah, about how to do this, quote unquote, what does he say when the person comes up to him and says, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 36, Yeshua says, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. This isn't just one of the commandments, or this is just something you should really strive to do. But when you think about all the 613 commandments that Maimonides said, that there's 613 commandments in the Torah, and then there's all this other stuff in the Bible too, What does Yeshua key in on? What does he say is the most pivotal, the most foundational thing, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. It's all about the heart. The Jewish sages talk about how loving God with your heart is key. They call the heart a metaphor for the seat of craving and aspiration. That's how they term this. The question for us is, what do we crave? What is most important to us? What are we passionate about? The answer to that exposes where your heart is. Where is our heart? If having the right heart before God is the thing, you know, capital T-H-E, the thing, how do we do it? How do we have the right heart before God? How do we go about doing all of these things with the right heart? What kind of heart should we have? We talk all about the heart, but we need to understand, how do I go about this? How do I have the right heart before God? What do I do? Today we're going to talk about that. God wants us to have not just a heart for him, but a certain type of heart for him. And the certain type of heart that God wants is a humble heart, is a trusting heart, is a faithful heart before him. See, you could say all day long, oh, I've got this heart for God, or I've got this heart for this or that. But what are we doing? How are we showing God that we have the right heart before him? How does it look to have the right heart before him? These are the things. So the first step, let's go to the first slide that we have today. The first step in having the right heart before God, because remember, it's all about the heart. The first step of having the right heart before God is having a humble heart, okay? So one of the definitions of humble, because everybody talks about, oh, I'm humble, I know what humble means. Nobody knows really what humble means. Humble means having a feeling of subservience. Subservience. Well, subservience to who? To whom, I should say? To God. Adonai created this world. He created you and me. And he is up here. I'm a little short, but I'm going to try to go up really high. He's up here, and you and me, we're down here, okay? We're not right there, and we're not there. Most of the world out there is up here in their minds, in their hearts. God created you and me to be down here, okay? I should have brought props or something today, but, you know, God, you. God, me. God wants us to have a feeling of subservience towards him. That's not politically correct to say, is it? But that's biblically correct to say. I am so tired of political correctness now, but we need to have more biblical correctness. We need to be subservient to God. That's not a knock on us. That's not saying, well, we're just terrible. We should just be in sackcloth and ashes and, you know, flog ourselves all day. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to understand the proper order of things. When we get outside the proper order or the proper hierarchy of things, we get into trouble. Being humble is recognizing that God knows more, understands more, can handle more, and is in control of more than you and I ever could. So let's stop trying to be in control of more than God, be above, understand more than God, because you can't, even though you think, you know, the greatest minds in the world are still way down here in the scheme of things with God. Sometimes it's better to define something by saying what it's not. You know, we're trying to define what is a humble heart? What does humble mean? Well, what's the opposite of humble? Pride. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. People have a problem with humbleness. People don't usually have a problem with pride. So we're going to talk about the opposite of being humble. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm sure you've had somebody quote that to you, wagging their finger at you or something, right? Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, but it's truth. If we want the right heart before God, we have to be humble and not prideful in our lives. We have to understand where we are in relation to God in our lives. That's biblical. King David, enormously successful king. I mean, we think sometimes we do some great stuff at work and, oh, we do some great stuff in the community and, oh, look at what I'm doing in my life. King David did a lot, okay? King David, really the first successful king, he expanded Israel's borders. He did everything he could except for building the temple to God. He couldn't build it because he had blood on his hands, right? So he left that. He had to leave that to Solomon, his son. But he prepared everything for Solomon. He basically said, Solomon, here it is. Take care of it. Build it. He enlarged the borders of Israel. He won battle after battle after battle. Hugely successful king. But he knew that the right heart before the Lord was a heart of humility and not pride. Psalm 51. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a very personal prayer and psalm of King David. King David, hugely successful king. If anybody could have been prideful, if anybody had any right to say, I'm like maybe not here, I'm maybe up here, or maybe I'm kind of close to here with God, it was King David. But he says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. We have got to have more of a broken and humble and contrite heart before the Lord. That doesn't sound like the heart of a great warrior, does it? King David, the great warrior. But it is the sound of a man after God's own heart. Because that's how David was described. He was described as a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51, verse 10. David also says this in the psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, if you think of these words and you think of the context and what David is trying to get forth and say to God and to us now, even today, it's that humbleness, that humility, that's having a humble heart before God. You could have done and continue to do so much for people and for God, but no matter what you have done or what you're going to do or what you're doing, we need to have a humble and contrite and broken and humble spirit before the Lord. A surrendered, humble heart is the foundation for the right heart before the Lord. And it's all about the heart. Genesis 15, verse 6. There's some scriptures that I tend to use a lot. Some would say I might even overuse them. But no, there is no overusing scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I really, really love this scripture because of all that it conveys. Genesis 15, 6. And he, talking about Abram or Abraham, believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. You not only need a humble heart before the God, it goes even further than that. If we're talking about how to have the right heart, you start with humility, right? Isn't there a book that said that? Start with humility. You start with a humble heart before the Lord. But you also, and this is sort of basic, but it's foundational, you need to have faith in the Lord. You need to trust the Lord. Genesis 15, 6. And he believed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And he counted it to him as righteousness. God counted it to Abraham as righteousness. Here, Abraham believed God. And in the context of this verse, what happens right in the, with, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but what happens here is God actually takes Abraham outside and he shows him the stars. And he says, Abraham, see all these stars out here in the sky? You're going to have children more numerous than all these stars in the sky. This is one of those wonderful times where God is promising this to Abraham. What's so amazing about the story is that Abraham didn't have any kids at the time, didn't have any prospect of having any children. His wife was barren. They were well past the normal age for having kids. So he didn't rely on his own logic. He didn't rely on his own trusting of what the normal course of things are. He trusted in God even when it didn't seem possible. Even when it seemed impossible, he trusted God. Abraham had a trusting heart, and that's the second slide to put up. That's the second point. It's all about the heart, and we need to have not only a humble heart, we need to have a trusting heart for God. A trusting heart. It's hard to have a trusting heart today, isn't it? It's not easy. Why is it not easy to have a trusting heart? Because people constantly let you down. We let each other down. We are imperfect. We are broken. And we are constantly sinning. We're constantly making mistakes in our lives. We're constantly hurting ourselves, hurting other people. And this is not a good pretext for talking about having a trusting heart. Because you may have parents that have let you down, or children that have let you down, or coworkers or bosses, or someone in your life, close to you, not so close to you, whatever, that's let you down. This is how life is. Unfortunately, we have brokenness in us. We have sin, and we don't really espouse that, oh, trust me, I know what I'm doing, right? God wants us to have a trusting heart, a heart that trusts in Him. Proverbs 3:5, another very used scripture, but I think this is important here. We have to have a heart that trusts God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord, or have faith in the Lord, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Abraham could have leaned on his own understanding in that moment. Abraham could have said, well, thanks for the promise, but I'm kind of looking around and nothing's happening. So I'll believe it when I see it. Have you ever said that? I'll believe it when I see it. Abraham didn't believe it when he saw it. He believed it before he saw it. That's the essence of faith, believing without seeing. That's the essence of having a trusting heart. We need to have a trusting heart and not look to the hurt that's been done to us or the hurt that we do to others. People thought that they could trust you. You thought you could trust yourself. You let yourself down. People have let you down. God will never let you down. And here's the thing. Go to Psalm 20, verse 7. People will disappoint you. You will disappoint yourself. It's hard to trust. But God is the one who we can turn to. God is the one who we can trust in, even if nobody else, if we can trust nobody else. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trusted chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, sometimes these scriptures, it's like we got to paraphrase a little bit in our minds, right, to bring it into 21st century, because I haven't seen too many chariots and horses around outside. So some trust in their vehicles, some trust in their money, some trust in power or friends or family or jobs, some trust in politicians or television or social media. Fill in the blank. Some trust in this, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Okay? Psalm 20, verse 7. It's the only thing that we can trust in. And having a trusting heart means trusting in the one who is trustworthy. He will never let you down. He is a rock, is how the word describes him. He is never going to let you down, no matter if everybody else in your life lets you down. He's never going to let you down. And that's an awesome thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's an encouraging thing for us. And that is the kind of heart that we need to have. The heart like God, a trusting God. We need to be trusting and trust and have that kind of a heart for the Lord. Okay, so turn with me now to Psalm 31. We've got to have that humble heart. We've got to have that trusting heart. And God himself, of course, is our example. I'm going to give you another example of God here and how we should have this right heart before the Lord. How we should follow after him in his ways and not our own ways, not relying on our own ways, not relying on the world's ways. How many times has the world let you down just this week? How many times has the world let you down in the last month? How many times have people, friends, family, the media, whatever you want to call it, let you down? But God doesn't let us down, because God is a faithful God. Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Now, this is really simple, but really profound. God is a faithful God. No matter what background you came from, whether you came from a Jewish background, whether you came from a Catholic or Protestant background, whether you came from no background, I'm going to bet that almost everybody has heard of the popular hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Have you ever? Who has not heard of that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness? God is a faithful God. Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's a very, Very popular hymn out there, and it is really true. But what does faithful mean? Great is thy faithfulness. You're so faithful, God, and I need to be faithful. I need to have a faithful heart like you. What does it mean? Well, the definition of faithful, it means to be true to one's word, true to one's promises, or true to one's vows. And if we think about who God is, he is faithful. He's faithful to the promise he made Abraham. He's faithful to the promise he made his people to bring them out of Egypt and into Israel. He's faithful to do all of these things. Over and over and over again, we can say he is faithful. Again, the problem with trying to figure out having the right heart is as we go out in the world, as we hang out with our families, as we go to our jobs, people aren't faithful. People are not faithful like the Lord is. We have all these bad examples, including ourselves. Proverbs 20, verse 6. I'm in a lot of Proverbs and Psalms today because there's really some good stuff about the heart in these books. I mean, there's even much more than I even brought out today, but a real convicting verse for us is Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast or faithful love, but a faithful man who can find. Now, these are really true words. It's one of these ouch, convicting kind of scriptures. Many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. We have such grand plans, don't we, to be faithful. We can talk a good talk, right? Oh, I'm going to be so faithful to the Lord this year. What do we say on January 1st, December 31st, January? I'm going to be faithful to stop smoking. I'm going to be faithful to reading my Bible every day. I'm going to be faithful to exercising. These are the main things people talk about on January 1st. And what happens around January 7th? Well, you know, I got this thing going on here, and it's really preventing me from being this faithful, and I've got this thing over here, and you wouldn't believe the problems I've got to deal with, so I don't know if I can keep those promises. God is never going to break his promises, but a faithful man who can find. This is really the thing. But yet God asks you and I to have a faithful heart, so that we can't look to ourselves and we can't look to the world. We can only look to God because God is the only one who is faithful. So if we set and fix our eyes on the ultimate example and we strive for that, then that's the right kind of faithful heart. And that's the third slide here. That's the third point. God wants you and I to have a faithful heart. He doesn't want us to try our best and then, okay, you did your best. It's not about you and I trying anything or doing anything. It's about his faithfulness. And based on his faithfulness, we can have a faithful heart because he has really given us a new heart in Messiah. You and I have got a new heart in Messiah. It's not a heart that is corrupted. It's not a heart that is decaying. Of course, we're still messing up and still sinning. But if you've accepted Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, if you have said, I'm going to be a follower of Yeshua, God has given you a new heart, and you need to learn how to use that new heart. You need to learn how to have that new heart beat, because it can't beat the same way the old heart did. The old heart that thought nothing but sin. Genesis 6, 5, I think it is. Anyway, look it up. It's in one of those verses right around there in Genesis 6. God created us to be faithful like him, to have the right heart before him. And we screwed it up in just a few chapters in the Bible, right? In Genesis. But God has given you and I a new heart. And that new heart needs to be faithful to him, like God is faithful. Now, we read a lot about King. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. When you read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you're reading about all the kings. You're reading about all the kings of Israel and reading about all the kings of Judah and all the things that they did, right? Or the big, it's like the big highlights, because then it always says, well, go consult the kings, the book of the kings to hear more about this. But really, the highlight version, Kings and Chronicles, talks about all different types of kings of Israel and Judah. Some of the kings were very wicked. Some of the kings were pretty good. And a lot of the kings were good at first, but they strayed and they started following other gods. And I started to think, okay, what's a great example to bring out? And then I said, well, of course, the the best example to use is King Solomon, right? 1 Kings 11, 4. Now, Solomon started very strong, didn't he? He started really being faithful to God. He started saying, God, what can I do for you? I want to have wisdom to understand you. And God said, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm also going to give you riches and honor and peace and all this praise and wonderful stuff. You're going to be the most smartest guy in the whole world, right? He had all this stuff going for him. And then here's what happens. 1 Kings 11, 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So for Solomon, it was his wives, and he had a lot of wives, right? I don't know. That's trouble right there. All of his wives turned him away from God. They caused him to be unfaithful to God. So for Solomon, it was his wives. Now here's the thing. You and I, what is our thing that is trying to make us unfaithful to God? That is trying to turn us away from the Lord? That is trying to get our eyes off of a faithful God and put it on the world, which is not faithful, and trying to have us follow after the world versus following faithful God? Because if we're supposed to have the right heart for God, a faithful heart, we need to continue to look to God, the only faithful one, and not the world. So what are the things that are trying to turn us away from being faithful to the Lord? Think about your life for a minute. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and volunteer for the class, but I am going to ask you to think and really pray about this. What are the areas that are causing you to be diverted from God? That are to be led astray, to maybe no longer be faithful. When everything is going great, it's very easy to be faithful. But when problems come in our lives, when issues arise, when things blow up, when we get thrown off kilter, we've got to remain faithful because it's so easy to get astray, to take our focus and our minds off of God and therefore not be faithful anymore. We have to be steadfast. We have to be faithful because it's not if, it's when we go through trials. And if we didn't think 2020 was the year of trial, now every year is the year of trial, but this is a real year of sifting. This is a real year of refining, but we've got to stay faithful to the Lord. So James chapter 1, verse 12. We have got to stay focused on the Lord. Focused and faithful to God. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. We all want that crown of life, don't we? As followers of Yeshua, we all want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? We need to remain steadfast under trial. It is not easy. How do I remain steadfast under trial? Well, I keep my focus on the Lord. I keep in good company because bad company can really not keep you faithful, can it? So I'm not saying don't be in the world. I'm saying don't be of the world. I'm saying be very careful. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. You know, one of the hardest things during this whole coronavirus thing is that for many months, we couldn't even meet together. And so, thank goodness we have the live streaming, but of course it's not the exact same as being here together. It's not the same thing as having Oneg together and fellowshipping together, and we miss that. I miss that. One of the things that I miss as a leader is seeing everybody and saying, how are you doing? What's going on? Sometimes it's hard to get in touch with people or whatever, but you know, the thing is, we need those times together because that's what's going to encourage us to remain faithful. We need to be in the Bible because that's what's going to encourage us to be faithful. We need to be seeking the Lord with decisions that are happening for us because that is what's going to keep us faithful. And we have to be steadfast in trials. And there's a lot of trials going on. Believers, followers of Yeshua, our hearts are being pulled in every which way. It's not enough to just kind of coast through things in Christian America, so to speak, because We don't have those securities anymore. You know, thank God we still have people in this country that are standing up, that are faithful. And hopefully we are continuing to be faithful. But no matter how dark the world gets around us, whatever you want to call it, we've got to remain faithful. And the only way is to be in with the Lord, to be in with each other. This is the thing. God wants us to have the right heart. To have the right heart is that humble heart before Him, is that trusting heart, and is that faithful heart. You are not going to find examples of humility, trustworthiness, and faithfulness out there. I don't care how nice people are. They could be so sweet to you. They're not God. The only way you're going to see true examples of how to have the right heart, the right humble heart, the right trusting heart, the right faithful heart, is to dive into the Lord and what He offers. It's the only way to really know how to have the right heart before God. And as we've said, it's all about the heart. Everything that we do, everything that we are, flows out from the heart. Foundational, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. So let's make sure we are cultivating the right heart before the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, God of Israel, God of all creation, Lord, we're in a little bit of a hiccup. We're in a little bit of a trial going on around us, Lord. But You're still faithful. You're still trustworthy. You're still the greatest example ever to us. And you know what? We still have Your word. We still have the opportunity to praise You, to worship You, to pray to You, and to fellowship together, Lord. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I just want to pray for each and every person that's here today, that's watching on the live stream. I pray for our congregation, for our families, Lord. There's real hurt, there's real need, there's real problems out there. But Lord, You are real, and Your word is real, and Your promises are real, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't pay attention to the world as much as to You, that we would dig in deep to You, that we would learn how to have the right heart from You, Lord God. Renew us. Renew our minds, renew our hearts, renew us today. Fill us up today with You. Fill us up today with good examples from You, from Your word. Help us, Lord God, to have the right heart before You. Teach us, show us, guide us, direct us, lead us, Lord God, to have the right heart before You, because it's all about the heart. Help us all to love You with all of our heart, Lord God, to seek You with all of our heart, to trust You with all of our heart today. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know You, I pray that You would really show them that You are different than all the people out there in the world that are going to let them down. Nothing is trustworthy but You, God. And I pray that people would put their trust in You today, that people would realize that Yeshua, You died for our sins, that would place their trust in You and make You their Lord and Savior today, Lord God, because You're the only sure thing in this sand that we're all walking in, shifting sand, Lord God, but You're the only rock that we can lean on and fall upon at this time. I thank You, Lord. I praise You, and I pray that You would continue to fill us and lift us up today in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. We're going to close our